The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. By your power, preserve us. And by your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. We got all the children up here. Hi there, I'm Pastor Bill. How many of you know this book? Yeah? You haven't read this book? Where the Wild Things Are? Let's ask the people out here. How many of you have read Where the Wild Things Are? Lots of people. This is a good book. It's about this little kid named Max, and he meets some monsters. And we never quite know if the monsters are real or if they're kind of in his head, right? And when he meets the monsters, he's scared. I'll read just this one. I'm not going to read the whole book to you. This one, just you can see the pictures there. It says, "And when he came to the place where the wild things are, they roared their terrible roars, they gnashed their terrible teeth, and they rolled their terrible eyes, and they showed their terrible claws." Yeah? The what? Oh, there's a movie? They make it like that? Oh, I haven't seen the movie. How about that? Well, that's just part of the book. I'm not going to read the whole book. If you haven't read it yet, you can ask your parents. Maybe they know that book. I want to ask you, though, you know, those were monsters. What are you afraid of? What scares you?
Spiders.
What else?
Everything related to spiders.
Everything related to spiders.
Rattlesnakes.
The what?
Rattlesnakes.
Oh, rattlesnakes. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah. Any monsters? Nobody's afraid of any monsters?
I don't really like bugs.
Bugs and spiders are out, huh?
I'm afraid of a creepy clown.
A creepy clown? Oh, that's a good one. How about a roller coaster? Anybody afraid of a roller coaster?
No.
You are? But the rest of you aren't, huh? Okay. That's good. How about paying bills? No, that's them out there. They're afraid of paying bills. You don't have to worry about that, right? So, yeah, some things are scary out there. Well, you know what? Today I brought some monsters with me. You want to meet them?
Okay.
Okay, here we're going to meet some monsters here.
Yeah, there's
okay, no one's afraid, though, are you? Okay, if they try to run away, you can all catch them out there. So, okay. I got some monsters. You can help me decide which one is the scariest one, okay? Do you know this guy? He's one of the wild things. So you want to hold this guy for me? You're not? Okay, all right. You want to hold him for me? Okay, you're going to hold him for me? How about this guy? He's also from the wild. You're going to hold him? Okay, there you go. I got one more. You want to hold the other one? No? You want to hold the other one? Okay. I only got three of them. This is the other monster. These are the same monsters that were in the book here, right? No, they're not very scary, really, are they? No. They're actually kind of cute now, aren't they?
This is the cutest one.
Well, tell me, when you're afraid of something, what helps you not be afraid? What helps you not be afraid? I like of spiders.
Throw it away.
Oh.
Make it so you can't see it.
Oh, put it away. He's away, so now he's not scary. What else? What else helps?
Putting a silly face on it.
Putting a what?
Silly face on it.
Oh, okay. You're going to put a face on him. So, how about if one of your parents comes in and takes care of your spiders, moves them? Do you know my...
I would save the spiders. I love spiders.
I do too. My wife, she loves spiders. When she finds a spider, she picks it up and takes it outside.
Well,
won't hurt the spider.
I think I will
scream. All right.
I don't
know. Well, you know, there's a story in the Bible that we're going to read in a little while. And some men are in a boat and a big storm comes up and they are all afraid. But you know who's with them?
God.
Jesus. Jesus is with them and he's not afraid. See, Jesus has gone through some very scary things. And he says, you can trust me. I think God wants everything to be good for you. You don't have to be afraid. You know, sometimes if you're afraid, what you can do is take somebody's hand. And they'll hold it. So Jesus says it's like you can take my hand whenever you're scared. So.
Yeah, and somebody took his hand and walked them
off. All right. Well, in the in the book here, do you know how little Max, what he does with the monsters so that he's not afraid of them? That's right. Actually, he makes friends with them. If you make friends with somebody you're scared of, then you don't have to be afraid of them anymore, right?
Or you can make them afraid of you.
That's right. So there's all kinds of ways when you're afraid, but remember, God can hold your hand during those times when you're afraid. So have a little prayer with me here, okay? You can make the monsters hold their hands together for a prayer. There we go. Good God, we give you thanks for your goodness to us in all things, and particularly when we are scared that you promised to be with us. So bless us now as we go into today's adventures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I know my wife would like these back, so I'm going to have to ask you to put our monsters back in the bag here, okay? Thank you for coming up. There you go. Children, all God's children round the world. Red and yellow,
black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. A reading from 1 Samuel. David said to Saul, "Let no heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth, and if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defiled the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David quickly ran toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 9 responsively. You, O Lord, will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble.
Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you never forsake those who seek you, O Lord.
Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Proclaim to the peoples the things God has done.
The avenger of blood will remember them and will not forget the cry of the afflicted.
Be gracious to me, O Lord. See the misery I suffer from those who hate me, you that lift up me up from the gates of death.
So that I may tell of all your praises and rejoice in your salvation in the gates of the city of Zion.
The nations have fallen into the pit they dug. In the snare they set, their own foot is caught.
The Lord is revealed in acts of justice. The wicked are trapped in the works of their own hands.
The nations go down to the grave of all the peoples that forgot God.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor shall the hope of the poor be taken away.
Rise up, O Lord. Let not mortals have the upper hand. Let the nations be judged before you.
Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know they are not immortal.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak to you as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel for this day comes to us from the fourth chapter of St. Mark. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to be back with you another time here. I'm also glad that you're giving your pastor some time away, Pastor Karen, in Ireland. Any of you Irish? Any Irish background? Did you teach her a little Irish brogue before she went? Just to... No, not quite, huh? Okay. Well, pay attention today, because the gospel lesson is almost written for you. It's about disciples getting into a boat with Jesus. And here we are at St. Peter's by the Sea, Lutheran Church, in a sanctuary that looks a lot like a boat. So this is a story written for you. Of course, it's also about a fierce storm that arises. And here are fishermen who know about storms, and they are scared to death. What are some of those kinds of storms you've been in your life? The ones where you actually fear for your life and wonder if you're going to come out okay. Have any been at sea like this one was? If some of you are sailors, you may have been in those kind of circumstances. Maybe a natural disaster. My wife and I lived in Cusco, Peru a number of years ago when there was a 6.5 earthquake there. And it was one of those that moved like waves. So here you are standing on solid ground, what you thought was solid, rock. And it moves like waves on the ocean. Very distressing to one's calm. Maybe your storms have been in some relationships. Or maybe it's been an illness that has had you wondering if you were going to make it through. Or maybe it's been in a situation of violence. If you listen to that second lesson today, Paul writing to the Corinthians, they've experienced lots of storms. It says beatings, imprisonments, hunger, riots, difficult times. And then we're presented with a challenge. The challenge that we know really well from the writings of Job. When Job says, "The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." And that would be my question to you. Has God spoken to you out of the whirlwind, out of the storms that you've experienced? We all like to think of God as light and goodness and peace and that still small voice. What about God who is like thunder? We're going to sing a hymn a little later. And part of that hymn is God of earthquakes, God of thunder. We're not always so comfortable singing those kind of verses. Have you been able to hear the voice of God in those kind of difficult times when things seem hopeless? Sometimes maybe they even seem cruel. I think the story in the gospel today, this storm at sea that Jesus and his disciples in, and even that letter to Corinthians, has some clues for us of how we live through those storms. Remember now, these are fishermen. They know about storms. They are out on the water every day. It's their livelihood. And yet this one seems to be so fierce that they are afraid for their lives. Maybe this one is overwhelming for them. And they're beginning to be panicked and afraid. And here are these sailors who know about the sea, and here's Jesus the carpenter sleeping in the background. I hate when that happens, don't you? You know, when everybody else is in chaos and can't figure things out, and here's somebody so calm it's not distressing them at all. And so they wake him up and they say, "Don't you care about us?" And it's no longer about the weather. It's now become a personal and a spiritual matter. "Don't you care about us, Jesus? Can't you do something about this situation we find ourselves in?" They're beginning to feel that Jesus, their teacher, has betrayed them. Sometimes in those events, we even begin to say, "God is mad at us. God is punishing us in this. We have done something wrong to deserve this." There's another Bible story that I think you all know well. Good to bring it up today because there's many hints of this story in the one that we read about Jesus and his disciples today. And that's the story of Jonah, who also gets into a boat. You know the story. Jonah is running away from God. God who wants to send him to this evil city of Nineveh to bring the word of the Lord to them. And he doesn't want to do that. It's a scary place, this Nineveh. So he's going the other way on a boat to Tarshish. And a huge storm comes up. And wouldn't you know, the story of Jonah says, the sailors are greatly distressed, but Jonah is deep asleep in the back. Sounds a little like the story in the gospel today, doesn't it? And the sailors wake him up and they say, "What have you done?" They're ready to blame Jonah for this storm that's there. Somehow this person that's on the boat is the one that's at fault for this storm. And so they eventually, even though we're told the storm keeps getting worse, three times in that story it says the storm gets worse. It wasn't the only bad part, the first part of that story. Three times we're told it gets worse along the way until they decide to cast him overboard. That he's at fault. If we get rid of him, things will be well. Isn't that the way we often deal with difficult situations? When we find ourselves in fear, we want to blame somebody. And then if we get rid of that, then we don't have to worry any longer. We did that, if you remember, when the hurricane hit New Orleans. A number of preachers says, "It's the gaze in the country. God is mad. That's what's causing this." Right now, there's much talk about immigrants. And in some ways, we are ready to blame so many of the problems in our society on immigrants that are coming in unauthorized. If we just cast them off, everything will be well again, is one of the political lines we are hearing right now. It's kind of our way. If we can sacrifice somebody, then God won't be mad at us any longer. And you know, it even gets worse for Jonah. You thought that storm was bad. Now they throw him into the sea, and what's next? He is swallowed by a huge fish. So you're given a choice. What would you rather do? Just be cast overboard or be swallowed by a big whale, by a big fish? Hard choice sometimes along the way. But Jonah in that situation, this is his prayer. "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry, Lord." Out of the whirlwind, out of the belly of the big fish, Jonah cries out and God speaks. And also, Jonah listens. He's able to listen in a very difficult situation and hears this message from the Lord. In some ways, this is a little hard to digest. That's supposed to be a pun, belly of the fish. Because here's Jonah, and here's us, facing some of the things we fear the most. And wouldn't you know, what we fear actually brings salvation, actually rescues us. For Jonah, it is this huge fish that swallows him and puts him on land. I kind of hate when that happens too, don't you? That what we fear and hate the most turns out sometimes to be what is most helpful to us and sometimes leads us in new directions. I, as a pastor, have actually been with people who are dealing with something like cancer, who say, thank God for my cancer, because it made me look at my life in a whole new and different way, and has taught me what's really important in my life. Sometimes what we fear the most can be the vehicle of salvation, the vehicle of rescue. And now Jonah still isn't done with his fears. Now that God has got him through all that, God says, now I want you to go to that evil city of Nineveh. He's not off the hook. And I want you to proclaim the word of the Lord to them. I've read several surveys, and maybe you already know the answer to this. When they survey Americans, do you know what usually the number one fear that they name is? Anybody got a guess?
Public speaking.
So now God is asking Jonah to do something really scary, speak the word of the Lord. So he goes to this evil town and he preaches. Interesting, it's an 8-word sermon. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the sermon that's recorded in there. And do you know that what we're told in that story? That the whole town repents. And even the king repents. Us pastors are a little jealous of that. You know, we look for results from our sermons. And of course, you're looking at me and saying, you know, Jonah was 32nd sermon, Pastor. And then here's Mark, this gospel story of Mark today, the 4th chapter. Jesus has been teaching his disciples. And in some ways, he's preparing them for the storms that are to come. The ones that just got reported to us in that letter to 2 Corinthians. The hunger, the riots, the persecution that will be there for them. And that chapter of Mark, the 4th chapter, that's teaching those disciples, ends with this story of the boat. And Jesus calming the storm. As though Jesus is getting ready, getting them ready and giving them courage for those storms that are ahead for them. So this story, which sounds so suspiciously like that story from Jonah, and has so many similarities, Jonah is in the belly of the whale 3 days. Jesus is in the tomb 3 days. God is preparing both Jonah, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the times that are ahead, the storms that will be there, to remember God's faithfulness to them in that. How are you doing with your storms? Are you able to call upon the Lord and find his comfort and strength in those? These are familiar stories in more than just the gospel today and more than that story from Jonah. It is actually all through Scripture. Genesis, 1st chapter, the world is like chaos, we are told. And God speaks and calms the waters and forms the dry land and eventually us out of that chaos and the water that is there. Moses and the Red Sea, they are fleeing what they're afraid of, the Egyptian army that's out to get them, and they come to a dead end, the Red Sea. This looks like the end for them, drowning. And wouldn't you know what they thought was going to be their destruction becomes their salvation. The waters part, and they're able to go through what would have been a threat to them and leads them into the land of milk and honey. And of course, the story of Noah with the great flood. That's those kind of storms in our lives that we fear will destroy our world even. And then the sign of the rainbow is given. That God promises goodness for us. That he is working for our good in all things, even when it doesn't seem that way all of the time. So we have learned, you know, hurricanes aren't God's punishment on us. They are the way that nature balances itself. These forces of wind and moisture and heat in the world, it is the way it finds balance and healing for creation. And yes, sometimes we get caught up in that. But it is not God's intent for evil. Fires. Here we are in California getting ready for a fire season again. And yet we know that fire regenerates the earth, is needed to regenerate the earth. And yet we know that if we are in its way, it is harmful to us. But it's not God's intent to hurt us in that. Yes, we know when we are in the storm, when we are in the water, when we are in the fire, it's hard to see God's goodness always in that. And yet that's when we are called upon to call upon the Lord. When we are called to remember these stories from Scripture of how God has been there in what seems like evil intent for us, working for our good. I'd even suggest you don't have to go back to these ancient Bible stories to learn that lesson. If you're afraid of the darkness, remember the first 9 months of your life were spent in darkness, total darkness. And that's where God created you. That's where God formed you. If you're afraid of the water and of drowning, remember that the first 9 months of your life you lived submerged in water. And it was where God's creative energy was helping to form you to be the person that you are. Are you afraid in those times of storms, in the darkness, in the water? Scripture is there, and God in us is there to remind us to have confidence and care in this good God who is working on our behalf. Just to conclude, I'd like to share with you some words from a song. The Old Globe Theater about a year ago had a play, a one-person play. That always amazes me that for 2 hours, one person remembers all those lines. I have trouble with a 15-minute sermon. This one was called The Lion. Did anybody have a chance to see that one? No. I'd recommend it if you ever see it. One-person show by Benjamin Schuer is his name. It's actually an autobiography about himself. He is a singer-songwriter. And much of the play is his songs. This is one of them that I think speaks to that gospel lesson today. Just a few lines from it. Gather round, children, come here by my side. Sit by the fire where it's warm. I'll tell you something was once told to me about the way that we weather the storm. It's not how long the rain falls, or how hard the wind blows, or how deep is the snow in the road, nor the balance we fake when we feel the ground shake and we think that our world will explode. It's the help that we give. It's the love that we live. It's our pride in the friendships we share. It's the courage we show facing things we don't know. It's the way that we weather the storm. God's blessings to you in the ways that you weather the storms. Amen.
Amen.